Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by You Need a Budget. It's the online budgeting software that we started using after a bunch of you recommended it. And now YNAB is giving you 3 free months when you sign up at YNAB.com/YHL. There's no code, just go sign up at YNAB.com/YHL.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
We're back, and we have lots of updates to share with you, including some big progress on the duplex kitchens and our decision on those small sleeping nooks, plus how we spent $4 to save $40. So we're well into 2019.
Yeah, I was going to say Happy New Year, but like, is it too late to say Happy New Year?
It's too late.
It's our first opportunity on the podcast. So Happy New Year, podcast listeners.
No, it's making the podcast very stale. I do not wish you a Happy New Year as it is too far into the new year, but I hope you're having a good day. How about that?
I hope your second week of January is going fantastically.
We have a lot to tell you guys. It's been a while. And boy, do we have stories.
And we're going to start off by sort of picking up where we left off before the holiday. We told you in the last episode about the Christmas gifts that we got for our children, the dollhouses.
Way back last year, 2018, yes. Old news. The short story is that the dollhouses went over amazingly well. Our daughter is so excited still. Every day she comes home, she runs to her room to play with her dollhouse. Even when we're at the beach, she said she misses her dollhouse. And our son loves his too. We were so glad we ended up getting two, and they put them together and they play like neighborhood with them. We are very happy that they are not just something they played with for 5 minutes. Like some toys they open up on Christmas, this is like a long-term, they're still playing with it toy.
They've lasted 2 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah.
At least is all that we can say so far.
At least. I'm confident that they will at least last another 2 more weeks. But since we're fixing them up together, I think it's a long-term thing because I think they're really into picking colors. And she has this idea for the floors where we're going to take a picture of tiles and print it out and basically Mod Podge the floor to make the bathroom look tiled. So you can follow along with that stuff as we go. We haven't really started very much since it's been the blur of family and friends and all that stuff for the past few weeks. But I will put stuff like that on the blog or Instagram if you guys follow us there. For any dollhouse enthusiast out there, I promise we'll share it as we go. But it will probably be a slow fixer-upper, much like the houses we actually fix up.
Well, and if you missed the pictures of the dollhouses themselves as they are now, we'll put those in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. And the other thing we wanted to update you on from the last episode was all that discussion about the sleeping nook at the duplex. You guys may remember that we talked about this tiny room on either side of the duplex that we were trying to figure out the most functional arrangement for. The room is about 8 feet by 8 feet, so it's not big, but we had a few ideas for how we could do the sleeping arrangements in there, and we asked for your feedback on them and even put a poll in the show notes. And so we wanted to share with you guys today sort of how that all has turned out.
Yes, and if you'll remember, there are two normal sized bedrooms. You know, they have queen beds, they have room for dressers, side tables, they have enough closets or areas to put a pack and play, for example, like lots of space. The sleeping nook is just a bonus sleeping space. And the three things we polled you guys on were two twin beds with like a pretty narrow aisle between them, a trundle bed so it could be collapsed to have more floor space or pulled out to have sleeping space for two, or a big king-sized bed that was essentially like the entire room would be a bed. Again, it's a sleeping nook, so it never is going to be a big room with a big king-sized bed. It would basically be a place to put your kids or to put an extra couple.
It's bonus sleeping space, as you had said.
Exactly.
And so the poll was very helpful because the clear winner, after 12,000 votes at this point, was side-by-side twin beds, which was our original instinct because that's what would be most functional for our family. And so it was very useful to hear you guys confirm that that felt like the most functional option there.
Yes. And then in second place was the trundle. And then in third place was a whole room full of mattresses. But it was a very clear win for the two twins.
Yes.
But if you're listening and you voted for something else, fear not.
Yes, if you are a loser whose vote did not come to the top. No, I'm kidding.
But we've come up with something that essentially, whether you voted 1, 2, or 3, you get all of those things. So what we landed on was actually something we realized right after we recorded that last episode. John and I looked at each other, and actually you guys wrote in and said the same thing. We all were like, hey, two twins pushed together makes a king. Why don't you just let each person decide, and before they show up, you can either set it up as two twins or as a king. And we were like, yeah, that totally makes sense. And then each person renting can decide what they'd like better. But what about the person who wants the floor space and just one bed, which you would get with the trundle?
Right. And we actually got a lot of recommendations for a particular trundle bed from IKEA that people really liked and was very functional because it's a pop-up trundle. So not only does the spare mattress slide out from underneath the bed, but it actually raises up to be the same level as the other mattress. So it effectively makes like a king size bed. And so we actually considered doing that briefly, but then we realized that if we did that pop-up trundle, it would eliminate the option for the two twin beds that are separate, which again got the most votes and we thought would be most functional for a family like ours.
But we did come up with a third idea with the two twins. You know, not only can we push them together to make a king, the way the bed bases we bought are designed, you can remove the legs and stack the two bases and it essentially creates a single bed. We would have to store one mattress at the Pink House. That wouldn't be a big deal. They're pretty light to carry. And then it would create one twin bed option. So if somebody renting wanted the floor space and just one twin, we basically could flex this room in three ways. It could be the two twins side by side, we could push them together to make the king, or we could stack the bases with one mattress on top to create a twin bed with a lot of floor space. So if someone was like, I know I can put a pack and play in bedroom number one, I know I can put a pack and play in bedroom number two, I'd rather the pack and play be in the sleeping nook, that is also an option. So it feels very flexible. We like that we're not building things in, which feels less flexible. Like we can shift this as we go and see how it works.
Yeah, I think that's the main adjustment we made from our original plan. If you saw the inspiration pictures in the last show notes, you noticed that the side-by-side twin bed options, there was like a platform that went across the whole space. So you actually had to like step up onto the platform and that's where the aisle was between the two beds. We decided not to do that because one, it would be a lot more trouble to build. And also it eliminated this option of creating the floor space by removing one of the beds. So instead, when we were at IKEA doing some shopping over the holiday, we noticed basically these things that are like box springs on legs that are super affordable, super easy to put together, and super easy to stack if we need to make that single bed scenario. You just have to unscrew the four legs. And we were able to start setting up one of the rooms with those two box springs with legs things so we could start to see how the room was shaping up. And the good news is there's still a nice aisle to walk through. There's room at the end of the bed to put like your suitcase and some stuff. And we are going to make sure that there is some storage space like on the walls, like some cubbies or some shelves so that people can put their clothes in there if they want to. And there'll also be a spot for like your book and, you know, a bedside lamp or at least a wall mounted lamp. So it still will be a functional space, but it's never going to be the huge master bedroom with room for like a dresser and a chair and a writing desk or whatever people want in their bedrooms. Like it is a sleeping nook. And I feel good about where we landed and making it as functional and as flexible as it can be.
Yeah, I think the flexibility is what I'm excited about. And I'll put in the show notes, if you go to younghouselove.com/podcast, we'll put not only a link to like the box springs with legs that we bought, but we'll also put in some renderings I did because I like to draw on a picture in Insta stories. Actually, I don't share it. I save it. You can hit download.
Rendering is a generous term, everyone.
It's just me with a marker drawing on a picture, but it's how I came to terms with like what it would look like with twins, what it would look like with them pushed together, and what it would look like with them stacked. And I even drew a little pack and play. Looks like a cube.
Can't believe you're actually going to share these with people.
I mean, I think it helps to understand just how small the room is. But you know, it actually was good when we put it all together because the aisle is not spacious, but it's like how you pass through a movie theater or how you pass through an airplane aisle.
Right.
Like it's enough space for a human to navigate. It's not enough space for like a ping pong table.
Right.
That's my unit of measure. Right. At all times, I'm like, could I fit a ping pong table in
there? There will be ping pong tables in all the other bedrooms.
There's enough room.
That music means it's game time, everyone, because I have a game we have played now 3 years in a row. It's a tradition at this point.
We're like old lady podcasters.
Well, yeah, the fact that I can say we're doing anything for the third year in a row is kind of weird.
I like how I said old lady and you just went with it.
Pick your battles, everyone. Anyways, every year, Pinterest puts out the Pinterest 100, which they deem as the 100 trending pins or subjects for the upcoming year. And they put out their 2019 list of terms in various categories. So food, beauty, wellness, parenting, all those things that are search terms that have seen a big spike in popularity on Pinterest, and they are calling trends.
paleo, paleo, paleo. That comes up a lot in my feed.
Well, I didn't look at any of the other categories except for home.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is a head-to-head version where I'm going to give you a pairing of related trends. One is from this year's list. One is from a past list.
Okay.
You have to tell me what is the 2019 trend.
Well, will I remember one from a past list?
I didn't use any ones that we referenced before.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if you remember the list that well, because even I didn't remember them and I made the quizzes last year.
Gotcha. Yes. I barely pay attention to you.
Good to know. First, in the plant arena, it's climbing plants versus cactus arrangements.
Oh, come on now. Cactuses are the one that's done and climbing plants are the new one.
Cactus arrangements are up 235% in 2019.
Guys, we've been playing with succulents for 10 years.
They're still going strong, guys. Okay, moving on to colors. A head-to-head between mustard yellow and sage green.
Ooh. So you know I always say sage green is in. I've been saying it for 3 years on this podcast. I think sage green is the trending one. Nah, now I'm questioning it because Opal House did a lot of mustard yellow and that just came out this season. Okay, mustard yellow is the newer one.
You are correct.
See? And like, I would pick the sage. So don't follow the trends. Follow your heart. It's because I don't like the taste of actual mustard. So it makes me not like the color mustard. Maybe. I'm not sure if that's grounded in reality.
Sounds like a loose theory.
I don't know.
Okay. But next up, natural soaps and cleaners versus natural swimming pools.
I think, because I've been noticing this, that the stock tank is really going strong right now. Like everybody loves a natural swimming pool. So I'm going to say that the natural cleaning is like older news. Like we were searching that a few years ago. We're still using it, but we're not learning about it now. We already knew about it. And the pools is the newer one.
You are correct again.
Ooh.
Natural swimming pools is from 2019. Natural soaps and cleaners, 2015.
Dang. But I still love a natural soap and cleaner. It's just like not a new search for me.
Moving on to wallpaper.
Okay.
Bold print wallpaper versus marble wallpaper.
Bold print. Well, bold print is not a very good description, John Petersick. I need more than that.
Okay, an example they gave was like tropical fern leaves.
Oh, I was just going to say, are we talking
or
like
palm fronds, whatever you call those.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing. Because I would say that geometric is waning in popularity in wallpaper. Not to say it's bad. If you have it, you should love it. I'm just seeing less of it. Then came marble. And then the newest one I am predicting is the bold pattern.
Bold print wallpaper?
Yes.
She's right again, folks.
Ooh. All this is proving is that I spend a lot of time on Pinterest. That's all it really is showing me. And I read like magazines and, you know, I feel like I'm generally looking at design stuff a lot.
You know, I just read magazines.
I have a subscription to Real Simple.
Okay. It's funny you brought up geometric wallpaper because this next pairing is colorful doors versus geometric paint treatments.
I think geometric treatments are going away. I just think in general, like, do you remember when we were all doing geometric rugs? I have nothing against them. I just notice different things coming in lately. But, you know, I, speaking to you at home, don't think you should get over something you like. I'm just generally saying
a lot of disclaimers. Come on. What's your
answer? No, but I don't want anyone listening to be like, oh my gosh, I have a geometric rug and you made me feel like crap. That is not what I'm saying. This is just about general trends in the industry. I have noticed people like West Elm selling fewer geometric things.
Right.
And moving towards like an ombre or a faded or over-dyed something. So what was the other option?
So it was colorful doors or geometric paint treatments.
You know I love a colorful door. I'll say geometric paint treatment is waning and colorful door is coming into trend.
Mm.
Ooh, I'm wrong?
Yes. Colorful doors was last year. Geometric paint treatments, 2019.
Huh. So what do they mean by that? Like big hexagons on the wall?
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes to their list because they have a sample pin that represents each trend so you can see what it means. But they just said if you're angling for a wall refresh, try painting colorful geometric shapes.
I do have one more note to tack on this.
Okay.
Generally speaking in trends, not what you should do, but what I notice being done, people are moving away from painting on the wall. I've seen like stenciling is less in than it was, say, like 8 years ago or 10 years ago. But wallpaper is much more in.
Right. Well, I think wallpaper has become easier to apply, therefore less intimidating, therefore less expensive. And so people are more readily embracing it.
Right. And it's removable now, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Spoiler, we are actually going to try something kind of like wallpaper at the duplex. We have placed the order, but I don't want to say more until we get it and we put it up.
Murals.
So we're not saying more.
You guys just wait. It's going to be amazing. In each of the sleeping nooks. I'm giving it all away.
You're just giving it all away. And I'll link to them in the show notes. No, just kidding.
No, but we'll have pictures soon because I can't wait. Like as soon as they arrive, we're putting them up.
Anyways, back to the quiz.
Okay.
Let's talk about materials. Acrylic decor versus tin decor. T-I-N.
Oh, dang. They're both kind of trendy. I'll say tin's out and acrylic's in.
Tin is in.
Dang. What are they using it? Like, explain that to me.
It says, give your room some vintage style from backsplashes to wallpaper. Tin is in.
Oh, they're saying like tin ceiling panels or tin backsplash panels.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys know you can buy that at Home Depot now. Like, it's very easy to find these like tin panels that used to look like a drop ceiling in these fancy old like bank vaults. Now it's like at Home Depot. So yes. You can get it.
Searches for tin interiors are up over 500%.
Dang. Well, I do love tin.
Okay, last one. Wood look tiles versus painted floor tiles.
Ooh, because I feel like wood look tiles seems like it's been around for a while, so that'd be going out. But painted floor tiles goes back to how I'm saying, like, people aren't painting things as much, and they're just doing, like, a wallpaper or, like, an object that comes already with a pattern on it. What do you mean by painted floor tiles? Like someone stenciling them?
Yeah, like painting over your floor tiles.
Oh, that's in.
Okay, I was nervous, but you got that one right.
Yeah.
We just did a blog post about this. We shared someone's before and after of painting their floor tiles.
Yeah, no. I just didn't know if it meant like buying them from shops that hand paint them and then sell them. You know how like clay is having a huge, do you guys know clay tile? It's like $100 per tile.
CLE, clay.
CLE, because they hand paint everything. So I didn't know if it was like at home, DIYer, or buying it.
Yes, they say, don't tear up that tile. People are painting their parquet floors with bold colors and mosaic patterns because searches for painted floor tiles are up over 1,200%.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all now, the paint technology, guys, is getting much better. So now we're able to do things like paint a backsplash, which we used to say, don't paint your backsplash. Are you kidding? The heat from your stove will ruin it. But now there are materials that make it possible.
So I will put a link in the show notes to all of the Pinterest 100 for 2019 so you can check out these and the other categories. And I will also put links to the previous episodes in our annual tradition of going over the Pinterest 100.
This is old hat for me now.
You did good.
I feel like I follow magazines, so I know what I'm talking about.
You know, folks, I read magazines.
Guys, that's going on my resume.
I also watch TV.
I watch TV.
Well, and real quick, I wanted to share that we got an interesting email from a reader in the UK named Joe, who had a great suggestion for a future topic, but we need your help. She was curious about sort of design norms around the world, because we talk a lot about our house, and obviously that comes from a very American perspective, I guess, because we live in America.
Right, so when we say things like, oh, the washer and dryer upstairs is really handy, sometimes we'll hear from people in a totally different country who say, oh, you'd never put the washer and dryer upstairs because you have to line dry the clothes, and that would be trekking them all down the stairs. And we're like, that makes total sense.
Right, but that's not really a norm here. Like,
in some areas, like California, they definitely have better weather, but in Richmond, we had the most rain we've ever had.
We're a very humid and moist climate. But yeah, Joe actually—
Are we selling you on Richmond, guys? It's a damp— green rainforest of a place.
It was in 2018 at least. Anyways, Joe did point out the laundry situation. You know, we were talking episode 122 about sort of our must-have, that's in quotes, our must-have list for a home if we were to build or buy another one. And we mentioned laundry upstairs. And she said, well, here in the UK, it's pretty normal to have your laundry in your kitchen.
And actually, that's not completely unheard of in the US.
No.
Like, one of my best friends had her washer and dryer in her kitchen of her last house. And she loved it.
Well, and Joe also mentioned that in the UK, like, she's never seen a Jack and Jill bathroom. She said, maybe it's just in bigger homes than hers, but she was unfamiliar with it. And so she thought it would be interesting to hear from people who live around the globe about sort of an interesting design or decor norm that maybe is different from what they hear us talk about here on the podcast. I know the majority of our listeners come from the US, but I know that's not all of our listeners. So I know there are those of you out there that have some interesting input on this topic, and we would love to hear your feedback because this is obviously a segment that I can't do between the two of us.
Right. We'd be like, well, this is what's normal for us.
We will travel the globe for this podcast.
I mean, I would like to have the budget for that.
So what we're going to do is in the show notes for this episode, I'm going to put sort of a form that you can fill in with your name and just where you can write a few sentences about what is an interesting design norm in your country. Do not DM Sherry.
I have no way of sorting DMs, guys. I can't star them. I can't put them in a folder. So I just will lose things and I might not even see them. So use the form because John will be able to categorize all that and then come back hopefully with a segment in a future episode that's like interesting about all the differences around the world and how we all live differently and what works in some countries, yada, yada. Because I'm excited to hear about it because I'm not just a person who does what's expected in my country. I do what works the best for me. So I'm hoping to glean some tips from other people and the way that they do things around the globe that maybe I could even implement into my own life.
Yes, and don't feel like we're asking you to represent your entire nation as a norm, because I know within a single country or region, there are lots of differences. But if there's something you've experienced in your own home or through lots of the homes you've seen in your area, we'd love to hear it. Again, there will be that form in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast.
Wait, but I have a question. What if someone lives in the U.S., but they find something very regional that's unusual? Like, for example, people who live in like Arizona, who where all the houses have tile floors.
I don't want to hear from them.
Oh, no, I was going to say that'd be good.
I'm kidding.
No, I think we should do that too. Yeah. Because also there are certain regions that have like really, really textured walls, whereas in Richmond, everything's flat, flat ceilings. But, you know, I know in other areas, even within Virginia, there are people with textured walls.
Okay, we'll say it this way. If there is a sort of design norm that is specific to your area, your region, your state, your country, whatever your spot on the globe is, we would love to hear it. Just not through DM.
Yeah, just don't DM me.
We learned our lesson on the sleeping nook.
Right, I had to just be like, don't DM me, guys. I can't even keep up.
Well, and I know we did talk earlier in the episode about some of the progress that we made in the duplex, you know, looking at that sleeping nook, but we did a lot more than just that sleeping nook over the holiday. So I wanted to give you a quick recap of all the great progress we made, because I am feeling really good about where we have ended up, which is notable because I wasn't feeling so good when we started.
Yeah, John is not a believer in things that I say. In fact, you will notice if you listen to this podcast, John likes to have like a cautionary statement after I make a strong statement. Like, yes. I'll be like, we'll share that next week on the podcast in the show notes. And John will say, maybe if we get it done.
Right.
Like, he is like the...
I'm the strings, you are the kite.
Right, I'm the kite, he's the strings. And he's tempering my enthusiastic statements that are not always true, because I will jump to a conclusion that might not be reality.
And in this scenario, we have been aiming towards summer as the launch of the duplex so that people can actually rent it come this summer.
Yes, booking this spring, like I want it on Airbnb this spring with beautiful pictures.
Maybe.
Watch, John's going to temper that statement.
Maybe.
And then starting in June, essentially when we land at the pink house and can manage it, we want to open both sides of the duplex to guests.
Okay, Sherry's making me nervous again with all those firm statements. But I would say that I was not feeling good about that at all for the last several months, because I have felt behind schedule with the duplex because things have just taken a long time. I mean, even just getting it off the ground. We bought it in September of 2017, and we didn't really get to start work on it because of all, you know, the permitting and stuff until basically February of 2018.
And then they wouldn't let us do the dormer, and that was back to square one again.
Right. So I just felt like we were not keeping the pace that I wanted to keep. And we had this big task ahead of us, which was installing kitchens. Not one kitchen, but two kitchens, because it's a duplex and there's two sides. And I remember from the pink house, that stretched out several months between installing the cabinets, between doing the pantry, between finally doing the backsplash in June.
Yeah, it took a while.
And that was one kitchen.
And I was like, John, pish posh, we'll be fine. Like, I'm like, we can do it. We'll do it over Christmas break. We'll have lots of time. The kids will be out of school. Your parents will come and watch the kids and we'll just like knock it out of the park in 2 days.
Well, we had been kind of holding Christmas break up as this go time for the duplex because we knew the kids were going to be out of school. We could spend an extended amount of time there working. And it put a lot of pressure on those 2 weeks. So we actually went to the beach the week before Christmas break started. That weekend, it was just like, you know, a 48-hour trip. And we were just going to get started on the kitchen installation. If you follow us on Instagram, you saw that right before Christmas, we had both kitchens delivered from IKEA, all 224 boxes of them.
And wait, before we proceed, I need to tell you guys the story of us receiving those boxes. So we go out to the beach during the day. Our kids are at school and the grandparents are picking them up from school. So we have just a small window of receiving the boxes, putting them in the duplex, locking the door and leaving. So the truck pulls up and he says, I've never delivered this many pieces to a single person before. And we're like, well, it's a two-sided house. So it's really two kitchens and two laundry rooms. So it's a lot of cabinetry. And he's like, yeah, it's two pallets worth. Plus there's the dishwashers and there's two of those. And there's two range hoods. So it's a whole lot of things. So we say, we just had the floors refinished and they're a little soft. So we're only allowed to go in with socks. So could you possibly bring each box just up to the porch and hand it to each of us? We're going to stand on each side in our socks. Yep. And receive the 224 items and carry them ourselves in. Because we didn't want like a trolley or a, what's that called?
A dolly.
I was close. We didn't want a dolly on the floors. They were too soft for that. We didn't want the guys in their big boots to be like walking carrying a heavy dishwasher. So side for side, John and I matched each other. Like, they brought a door to the one side that was the colorway of the one side, because blue things were going on one side and wood things were going on the other side. And they just were bringing stuff up to the doors. And in our socked feet, we were carefully receiving each box, putting it down. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it took us about 45 minutes to get it all unloaded. And the representative at IKEA, when I bought it, said, you should really inventory everything. Like, here's your list. Make sure you got everything. I looked at those piles and I was like, there's no way this is happening.
Right. Like, they were thinking as it comes in, be there with the checklist. Yeah, like, inventorying it.
Check, I got this. Check, I got that.
But what was happening is we were getting handed something, putting it down, coming back to the door, getting handed another thing, putting it down. Like, there was no point at which we could oversee what was going where and how many of what we got.
Anyways, back to the weekend where we went to sort of get a jump start on this. We had about a day and a half where we could work. And I thought, great, like, we'll get all the base cabinets in and I'll be feeling good about Christmas break being really, really productive. And the weekend did not go as quickly as I had hoped.
Well, remember how we've talked about this before on the podcast. The setup and the starting always takes longer.
Yes.
Tiling, for anything you're doing, because you're like figuring out where to start the pattern, or you're figuring out where to put the rail, or you're shimming the wall because the wall isn't straight. Like, you're basically getting things to zero. And then when you're at zero, you can start hanging or installing or placing.
Yeah, like, prep and organization take a long time, but they're important steps because they set you up for success and a smoother project. But if anyone has installed an IKEA kitchen before, you can probably relate to some of this. Like, you have to assemble the cabinet boxes. It's not hard, but it takes time. You have to assemble the cabinet drawers. Again, not hard, but it takes time. There's lots of pieces. You have to sort of follow the instructions to make sure that you're not putting the screw in a slightly wrong hole, because if you do, it'll get the whole thing off. And then when you actually have to hang all these things on the wall, you have to make sure that your wall is level and even. And guess what? In an old house, even one that's been renovated, they're not.
They're not at all. Like, we'll show you a picture. I'll put it in the show notes of how much we had to shim one rail. It is literally more than an inch. So there was a lot of stuff that was like not ideal, not smooth, and it just took longer on that weekend than we ever expected.
Yeah, we basically, by the end of the weekend, had three cabinets hung on each side.
Which was like less than half of what we thought we'd do.
So I went into Christmas break really discouraged about it being this go time, and that goal of launching in the summer would be even further out of reach.
Yeah, John was ready to be like, okay, 2020 is going to be our year. And I was like, hold on, we just got to 2019.
Right.
Let's have some faith.
So we spent 4 days before Christmas working at the duplex. We went home back to Richmond for a few days to celebrate the holiday with our family. And then we went back to the beach for another 5 days before New Year's to work more. That went much smoother. We got both kitchens entirely installed cabinet-wise.
Right. We still have appliances to be delivered, counters being templated, counters to be installed, install backsplash. But we are much, much closer. And things like toe kick. But
yeah,
we have
kick,
the cabinets hung.
Some filler pieces to go, and we have to add the hardware. So still lots of things that are going to take time. But just getting the cabinets in and getting like the hood hung and installed, like, we have one working appliance.
We could cook bacon and vent it, except we don't have a stove to cook it on.
Yes, we can't cook anything, but we could vent it.
We could vent.
And we could turn on the light. But the great part is, by getting all the cabinets in, we've been able to schedule our countertops to be templated, which is a big step because that takes time. And we were even able to schedule it for the same day this week, actually the week that you're hearing this, that our appliances are getting installed. And so, like, within a week or two, depending on how long the counters take to get installed, it's going to start looking almost like a finished kitchen.
Oh my gosh. And when we can finally turn the water on, which is going to happen when our plumber comes out there, which will probably be 3 weeks, get us a week after all the deliveries, then it's like you can go to the bathroom in the duplex. Imagine that.
You can cook bacon and go to the bathroom.
The only things you really have to do in a house.
So even though it was an exhausting holiday to some extent, because there were lots of long work days at the duplex, I feel really good about the progress we made and the fact that between all that, also, we were able to do lots of shopping for things to start filling with furniture and curtain rods and blinds and mattress covers, like all the boring stuff that you guys don't think about, like toilet paper holders.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. It's like all the not glamorous stuff to pick out, like duvet fills, getting the blinds. We basically ordered most of that. Our credit cards did not even get canceled this time. It's like they're learning that we buy house stuff, so they stopped canceling them. And I was gonna say, I think we did a good job spending time with friends and family too.
Yeah.
Like, it was 2 full weeks off, and I feel like we worked hard and played hard. Like, we did a lot of fun things with our family, with our kids. We were in the hot tub. on New Year's Eve with the lights on in the dark with the kids. They thought it was so fun. We watched the crab pot drop in Cape Charles, a town tradition. And they do it at 10 so the kids can be awake for it.
This is one of those regional trend things right. that we're talking about.
I heard in Idaho they drop a potato.
Again, regional.
Regional.
So I have some pictures that I will try to put in the show notes, but we're also working on a post, hopefully, with some updates to see the progress that we've made and how it's starting to look like a real house that someone might actually be able to live in this summer.
Right. Not live in. Don't move into the duplex. Just stay for a week. Stay have a good time.
In. But I say with like now 95% confidence that we will be launching in June.
I feel like that deserves an I told you so.
I'm not at 100 yet.
I'll wait for it then.
I'll let you say that in June when we've launched.
I will receive one on the air at some point.
Okay, maybe. We'll
By
see.
By the way, people think that I should be getting an I told you so for painting the brick, which you vehemently fought against. Then
I did not vehemently fight against. I just assumed the role of the con person.
But now you like it.
Oh yeah, now I like it. I wouldn't go back. You were right.
Okay. So for everyone who's waiting that
note,
for that.
On that note, we got to take a break. Whether or not you are a resolution person, I feel like the new year is still a great time to try to pick up some new good habits or maybe reinstill some old ones that you lost track of. And for me, guys, one of those lost habits is budgeting our money with YNAB, aka You Need a Budget, aka this week's sponsor.
Yeah, so you guys recommended YNAB to us a couple years ago when we heard from so many people who already have and use it to pay down their debt or save up for vacation or a renovation. It just helps you keep tabs on where your money's going, giving it a job, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool because YNAB automatically syncs to your bank accounts and it learns to categorize any new transaction into the right budget categories. And when you get a new paycheck or deposit comes in, you get to give that money a job. Like, this much is going to cover gas, and this much is for groceries, and hey, here's some extra I can do something fun with. But I'll be honest that in the last few months, I have fallen out of the habit of actively budgeting our income as it comes in. So long story short, I'm kicking off 2019 with a recommitment to take better control of our budget again. And really, we're only talking about like a couple minutes at the beginning of each month. It's not a big deal. So if you also want to start 2019 feeling more control of your money and where it goes, YNAB will give you 3 free months when you sign up at YNAB.com/YHL. There's no code to enter or anything. Just go to that URL, YNAB.com/YHL, and sign up and you'll get those 3 free months. You know how you sometimes hear like a blogger give a tip and you think, oh, that's a smart idea, but you never actually follow through with it?
You just forget.
Right. I finally followed through with one I've heard for a long time and I wanted to tell you guys about it. So what I'm digging this week are eBay coupons. Not coupons for eBay, but coupons you find on eBay. And this is advice I've heard from lots of people, specifically our friends Chris and Julia over at Chris Loves Julia. I've heard her say this a lot, but I've never actually followed through. I don't know why, for what reason.
I think I know the reason. We find a little coupon easily. Like we'll search and find like 20% off one item at Bed Bath & Beyond and we'll just use that.
Just like by Googling.
Yes. And what she says is like, no, go on eBay and for like $4, buy a coupon, but it's like 20% off your entire purchase.
Right.
I think when we Google and find a little coupon, we're like, eh, that's fine. Free shipping, we'll take it. Or
right.
Like, eh, that's fine. One thing, 10% off, fine. But it's really like a bang for your buck if you buy for a few bucks a big coupon because it can save you way more bucks.
Exactly. You're spending money to actually purchase someone else's coupon, but if it saves you more money, you still win.
Right.
That's what we did recently with one of these big checkouts we were doing for the duplex. It was actually for shower curtains. Again, another exciting purchase.
We like extra long ones, so we get them specifically at Bed Bath & Beyond in a certain length, and yes. They're white waffle, and they're easy to wash. We have them at the Pink House and our own house, so we know they work.
Yeah, so we were buying 4 of these for the duplex. And, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond always has those 20% off coupons that you get in the mail like every day, it feels like.
Right, but those are for one item.
Right, exactly. And I couldn't find one anyway, so it didn't matter. I wanted to get 20% off my entire purchase. And I Googled for one, couldn't find anything. So I went onto eBay, searched for Bed Bath & Beyond, and there were a lot of those 20% off a single item ones. But with enough scrolling, I finally found one that was 20% off your entire order. It was $4. But I did the math. I was going to save $40 with the coupon.
That's a net savings of $36.
Exactly. So it was well worth the purchase. Now, I did learn a couple things in this process. One is when you are searching for the coupon, check the delivery of it. to make sure that the person will send it to you quickly. I noticed in the one that I bought that he said he usually emails it within 3 hours.
And by email it, do you mean he takes a picture of the coupon and sends it to you, or does he give you like the code number?
This particular person sent me a scan of the actual coupon itself. So I had to type in the code in the Bed Bath & Beyond website.
Gotcha.
But I didn't tell you this, Sherry. I'm telling you this on the podcast for the first time.
Uh-oh.
That was my second one that I bought.
Oh, the first one failed?
Well, the first one, which was $8.
The guy, oh my gosh, then only a net gain of $29.
$28. This person is physically mailing me the coupon.
Oh.
So at some point, we're going to get a coupon in the mail for 20% off, which is fine because we still have bedding to buy that we're going to look there.
Oh yeah, beach towels.
So okay. It is not a loss, but I was trying to do that checkout like right then. And then when I was like, oh, wait a second, the confirmation email says like usually ships within 2 to 3 business days. I was like, I'm not going to wait for that.
Okay, so tip number one.
Yes.
Don't be like John.
Don't make the $8 mistake I made. Just double check what the sort of parameters are for receiving the coupon before you place the order. Because if I just looked a little bit further down the search results, I would have found this $4 one that came to me within 3 hours by email first.
And meanwhile, I'm digging a game that the kids got from my brother for Christmas. And it's really fun. You guys have probably all heard about it. We had heard that there's ways to play this like with your phone and other ways, but this is the real actual board game. And it's called Headbands. And it's for kids of almost every age. Our son is 4, our daughter's 8. They both love it. Essentially, you put these plastic straps around your head. You draw a card. You can't see the card. It faces out and it's on your forehead. I know I say that weird. I'm from Jersey. Everyone else says forehead. I say forehead because it's far ahead of the rest of your face.
Another regional thing.
But anyway, you can't see it because it's like basically above your eyes and in the center of your face. And it might say goldfish. They have an illustration as well as the word, which is great because our son can't read quite yet. Our daughter's great at reading and he can see the picture of the goldfish and he knows that you're a goldfish. You don't have to read to play the game. So you will have to, with yes or no questions, try to figure out what you are. So the first 3 questions you always ask are like, am I an animal? Am I a thing? Or am I a food? We played it a lot with my mom when she was visiting and the kids. We played it with them. You get chips. We don't really use the chips at all.
Yeah, there's a scorekeeping element to it, but we just decided not to deal with that because the kids were just having fun guessing. It actually even became a fun game to play at restaurants. Like, we didn't bring the literal card game with us because I was not about to sit in a public restaurant with like a blue plastic headband around my head.
Which makes a little dent in your forehead, I'm not going to lie.
But we did just sort of like write on a piece of paper and show everyone else at the table besides the person who had to guess.
Right. You just close your eyes and everyone else at the table would whisper like, she's a piece of ham. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
And you know, podcasts go really well with resolutions like being more active, getting the house organized, or cooking more because they're all made better by having something good to listen to. So if you know someone with a resolution like that, please share our podcast or any podcast and you'll basically be helping them achieve their New Year's goals.
I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch.
I don't think so.
Well, and keep telling us what you do while you listen. Like Beth on Instagram, who's an opera singer and listened on her way to her 3rd audition in 1 week.
Is this the part where you impersonate an opera singer?
Glass breaking, shatter, shatter.
Okay, and don't forget to check out younghouselove.com/podcast to see all the links, photos, and info from this episode, like the Pinterest 100 list, and that form where you can tell us about the interesting design norm in your part of the world.
And my super realistic renderings of the duplex sleeping nook.
Later.
Bye. Coming back to the door, getting handed another thing, putting it down. Like, there was no point at which we could oversee what was going where and how many of what we got.
If you've seen the movie The Fast and the Furious.
Oh, I was going to say it's Lucy with the chocolates.
Remember with the chocolates.
I love Lucy. Oh, She's eating Lucy. The chocolates and they start coming out faster and faster. That was me.
I would say this is like a drag race, but instead of cars, it was IKEA cabinets.
Oh, I like mine
that
better.
Analogy. That one didn't land.
Vote in the show notes. Was Lucy better than a drag race?
That one might fall out during editing.